So now we'll begin a two-part dramatisation by Gerda Stevenson of one of the most popular Scottish novels of the 20th century, Sunset Song. Written by Lewis Grassic Gibbon, first published in 1932, Sunset Song was named the best Scottish book of all time at the Edinburgh International Book Festival in 2005, and a film version is currently in production. Set in a farming community in northeast Scotland, the story opens in the years leading up to the First World War. During this time of social turmoil and unrest, a family tragedy looms for young Chris Guthrie.
She hadn't worn shoes, my mother, till she was 12. She loved the singing of the winds in the fields, the daft crying of the lambs she herded, the feel of the earth between her toes.
Oh, Chris, my lass, there are better things than your books or studies or loving or bedding. There's the countryside your own, you it's, in the days when you're neither bairn nor woman.
She was blithe and sweet. You saw her against the sun as though you peered far down the tunnel of the years.
Sunset Song by Lewis Grassic Gibbon. Dramatised for radio by Gerda Stevenson. Part 1.
Winters are springs, summers are harvests. Life ploughed its rigs and drove its teams. And father's dourness hardened. Hard and cold in the heart of him. Mother's face grew queer and questioning. She lost that sweet blitheness that was hers, though the glint of gold in her hair could still rouse father.
No, please.
Mother crying,
Will. Do you hear her?
What are you doing up at this time, Chris? Get back to your bed.
What's wrong with mother?
Never mind. Get into bed. You're waking wee Dodd and Alec.
Ugh, the eye sleep sound. I want to hear what's going on.
If feather catches you, he'll roast you, Chris.
Shh. Listen.
We'll be guided by the Lord, Jean. But go forth and multiply, said Noah.
Aye, but we're not animals, and we're not in the ark.
It's time you were asleep, Chris.
I wasn't sleeping anyway. I'm still reading. Wished, Will.
Hannah, we've no room in this wee bit house as it is, John. There'll be no more bairns. Of our families. Fine. Yes.
We'll have what God and his mercy may send to us.
No.
I'll do nothing against his will. Wished your gammering, woman. I'll have my God given rights.
Come away, Chris. This isn't for our ears.
Oh, just still, woman.
There's fear in mother's eyes sometimes, Will. I mind it in the days before Dodd was born, and the same before she had wee Alec. Is it father's black rages, do you think?
Something like that.
She's quiet now.
Aye, she's fine. Just finish your reading. There'll be nae wick left in yon cannel soon.
When I met with books, I went into them to a magic land. I was reading Rhynsy, The Last of the Romans, a prize for being ducks at the school. I got 4 books in all, one for each year I'd been there. The best was what Katie did at school. I wished I lived at school at Katie, not tramping back in the spleeter of a winter night to help muck out the byre, with the smell of the sharn rising in your face.
Attention, class. Attention! Take out your Latin grammar books. Conjugation. We'll start with the easy ones first. The verb to love. Anyone? Yes, Christine. Christine Guthrie.
Amo, amas.
Amo, amas, I love a lass. Now, I didn't know it was that funny. Settle down. Christine, carry on, please.
Amat, amamis, amatis, amant.
Excellent. Copy it into your notebooks now, everyone, along with the other verbs on the blackboard here. Good handwriting, Christine.
Thank you, sir.
I was impressed with your essay, by the way, on the flowers of the forest. Fine style.
Thank you, sir. It's my favourite song.
It's very clever the way you drew it all together. Wallace's capture, the English treachery at Flodden. Powerfully expressed.
It always makes me want to cry, the Floors of the Forest, when I hear folks singing it.
I know what you mean.
The lads that never came back to their lasses among the stooks, and the lasses that never married.
Well, you harness that feeling in your writing with those images. The men lying happed in blood and earth, their bloodied kilts and broken helmets. Very moving. Very fine. You should try to write poetry, Christine.
Two Chrises there were inside me that fought for my heart and tormented me. You hated the land and the coarse speak of the folk, and learning was brave and fine one day, and the next you'd waken with the peewits crying across the hills, deep and deep, crying in the heart of you, and the smell of the earth in your face. Almost you'd cry for that, the beauty of it, and the sweetness of the Scottish land and skies. You saw their faces in the firelight, fathers and mothers and the neighbours, before the lamp lit up, tired and kind, faces dear and close to you. You wanted the words they'd known and used, forgotten in the far-off youngness of their lives. Scots words, to tell to your heart how they wrung it and held it, the toil of their days and unendingly their fight. And the next minute, that passed from you. You were English, back to the English words, so sharp and clear and true, for a while, till they slid so smooth from your throat you knew they would never say anything worth the saying at all.
Here, with this hay doing for the beast, Will.
Aye, fella. Chris, come here and take a look.
I'm coming.
What do you think, Chris?
Ah, she's fine looking. Where did you come
from? Never heed what your sister thinks. And you get on with your homework, Chris.
I'm just going, Father.
You'll maybe make a teacher yourself if you stick at it.
Aye, Father. The Dominie was pleased with my essay today.
Well, you can't rest on your laurels. Now, Will, dinna spend hour long with the grooming. She's no a plaything, yon horse. And you've to muck out the byre yet.
Aye, Father. Bide a minute, Chris. Come here and take a proper look. Is she nae the bonniest steed you've ever seen in a' the parks of Echt?
Oh, she's a fine beast, right enough. Is she ours?
Aye. Feather went into Aberdeen today and bought her. She likes me grooming her. Will you look at the lang curling tail on her? Right. Let's move you round there till I get your other side groomed. Come over, Jehovah.
Never our name.
No, she's cried Bess, Feather says. But I like the sound of Jehovah. That's my lass.
What are you saying? Huh? What's that you dare to speak?
Feather, I was just saying it.
You young limmer.
No.
I'll teach you to take your maker's name in vain. Get your breeks down and I'll lip you with my whip. I'll lip you like a lamb.
Father, you can't.
Be quiet, Quine, and I'll take you as well.
No! I hate him.
Was it still sore, Will? Were he leathered you?
Aye. My backside's throbbing. Right up to my shoulders.
I'll come in beside you. You can rest in my arms. There now, lie quiet.
I'm 16, Chris. I'm near a man. I'm too old to be beaten.
I can.
It was the way the minister spoke it, in the kirk. Jehovah. The bonniness of it, and the fine word, well shaped and handled and grand.
It is, Will. It's a fine word.
It flashed in my mind, Chris, like I've been waiting for a thing,
or a man or a beast if it...
I put out my hand below his shirt and made gentle my fingers to pass and repass across the torn flesh of his body, soothing him. Strange it seemed then, for I knew him bigger and older than I was, and somehow skin and hair and body stranger than once they'd been, as though we were no longer children.
I hate Feather. I hate him. The way he's bled the bonny blitheness out of mother.
She'll be fine.
Shh. Aye, but she may be nae, Chris. It makes her ill to be giving birth. It nearly kills her every time. She shouldn't be in another bairn. I hate him. I hate him.
Shh. I can. I feel it myself sometimes. Hate. Father. The land. The life. And then I don't. It passes well.
For you, maybe.
Look. See the moon in the skylight? A harvest moon? Oh, is it nae bonny? Like it's sailing. And the peasies weeping. Think on them, Will. And the hate'll pass.
Oh, Lord. Chris, hurry up with the buckets of water, lass.
I've got them. They're filled. Here. Is Father nae back with the doctor yet, Mother?
No, not yet.
Where's Dodd and Alec?
Oh, I've put them to their beds early. They mustn't see me like this. Oh, it'll scare them. Make sure they stay there, Chrissy. Oh, God.
Should you no go to your ain bed?
Aye, when your father comes in. Get the water on to boil now.
I've spoken with him, Jean, the doctor. You'll not be lying.
Oh, don't worry about that, John Guthrie, my man. No doubt your friend Jehovah will see to it all. Oh, no.
I boiled the water in kettles for hours and hours, and the doctor came in. Then towels came down. Towels clearted with stuff I didn't dare look at. The smell of it haunted me for a day and a night. Just washed them quick and hung them to dry.
Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me, God, I'm a miserable sinner. Forgive me the lusts of the flesh. Blame the bonny golden hair of our Lord, not me.
Father?
What? Oh, you, mind your end. Spread the table there, through in the parlour, Chris, for the doctor. And you can boil him an egg for his breakfast. What's up with Dodd and Alec?
They're scared, Father.
I'll give them something to be scared about, the limmers. I'll skelp their dukes till they have the peace.
I can't sleep, Chris, for hearing mother in her pain. It's like she's being torn in the teeth of beasts.
I can. There's hot tea on the range. Take a drop, Will.
Mither shouldn't be haying a bairn. She's far too old for that. He's just a beast, Father. A fair beast.
What's Father to do with it?
What? Do you know Ken?
No.
What's a bull to do with a calf, you fool?
Oh. I never...
Have you said the doctor's breakfast, Chris?
I'm doing it now, Father.
Guthrie, man, it's a fair tough case. I don't need your help. Oh, doctor, I dare not.
Man, do you hear me?
Oh, damn it to hell, I'm no deaf.
Hot water, jugs of it, Chris, it's twinches, I think. Pour me a basin of water and put plenty of soap nearby.
Aye, doctor.
You hear me?
She hears you, doctor. She's only feared.
She'll have a damn sight more to fear when she's having a bairn of her own. Pour out that water, quick.
So that was the coming of the twins to Cairndhu. We never thought that night should live to see them born. But Mother came down from her bed in a fortnight's time, with the shine of gold still in the sweet hair of her, and her eyes clear again.
Are you playing it, woman? Your driver's nearly broke my cart and killed my horse. There, new boy. Come away, lad, come away.
You're causing an obstruction, my man.
I'm not your man, thank God. But if I was, I'd have your painted face scraped with a clart. It's John Guthrie to you.
Take a note of his name, James. Do you hear?
Aye, madam. I've got it. Guthrie, madam.
You're the tenant here, I take it, Guthrie.
And you're likely the factor's moll.
It's never wise to bite the hand that feeds you, Guthrie. Good day to you.
And that was the end of Cairn Dhu for the Guthries. The factor wouldn't give Father another lease when the time came to renew it.
We won't make it to Blairy the night, John.
With nae choice, woman. And anyway, he said you wanted to move to a bigger house.
Aye, but not in the knives of winter.
Dark wished, woman. And keep yourself covered. I didn't want to see your shame.
I have to feed the bairns, man. Oh, keep your eye on the road and my grease will no bother you.
Darkness came down like a wet, wet blanket. Weariness below it, and the crying of the twins. Mother sat in the nook of the leading cart, one twin at her breast, now another, her skin bare and cold and white, and a strand of her rust-gold hair draped down from the darkness about her face into the light of the swinging lantern.
Whoa, Clyde! Whoa, lass! Get to the back of the cart, Chris, and see what's up with the cattle.
Hi, Feather. I'm gone.
The horses cannot make it up the slug in this sleet, John.
They can, and they will.
The hooves will be slithering with the weight of the carts and all the gear. We'd better loosen up at Port Leffin and no try the slug this night.
Damn it to hell. Do you think I'm made of silver to put up the night at Port Leffin?
No, we're not made of silver, but maybe we'll all die of the night.
Father! The coos winna move. We've tried me and Will, and Dodd's at them with a stick, but they're all bunched. Tails to the wind.
What's Will playing it back there? I'll get the beast to shift if it kills me.
Father ran to where the cattle were bunched, refusing the bray of the slug. My wee brother Dodd wailing and crying at the beasts. With one swipe of his hand, he swung Dodd into the ditch.
Dad! What do you think you're doing with these coos? Have you got no sense, you brat? Hey, up! Up! Come on, you beasts! Move! Move! Go on, Alec! Run ahead of them!
I see them!
They're moving now! They'll follow you! Will, keep to the back of them! The bark, I say!
Hi, Feather! I'm gone!
Hey, up! Come on!
Out of the world and into Blaweary. That's what they say here. Aye, your father will have his work cut out on these parks. Blaweary's the coarsest bit land in Kinraddy.
I like it fine, Mr...
It's Rob.
Is it you they cry Long Rob of the Mill?
That's me. There's my mill down on the corner of the Kinraddy Road, with the pigs and hens running round.
He looked like a Viking. Arm outstretched, pointing down the brae. Tall and strong he was, with his fine thin nose, eyes smoky blue as an iron cooter on a winter morning, glinting, his hair in long mouser hanging down the sides of his mouth, the colour of ripe corn.
Are you at the school then, Miss Guthrie?
It's Chris they call me. I've started the college at Duncairn.
Oh, you'll ken young Margaret then, Chase Strachan's lass. She's at the college too.
Aye, we get the student train together in the morning.
It's a fine thing, education.
I like reading, learning.
No better company than books, Chris. You'll be the eldest of the family then.
Will's the eldest, then me. I'll be 16 next birthday.
There's hundreds of snipe on the loch up here.
My mother says it's no safe yon loch. There's nae bottom to it.
Like the depths of a parson's depravity.
Is that nae an ill thing to say about any minister?
Oh, it's an ill thing to say about any loch.
You're nae for the kirk then. I haven't seen you there.
Not me. Though I hear the new minister's fair stirring folk up with his sermons.
It was the Song of Solomon last Sunday.
Oh, aye. He has a liking for texts that preach of the flesh, the brave Reverend Gibbon. Showed there was more than one meaning to the song, I'm told.
Well, and rare he preached it.
Ah, it's a fine way of having your pleasure by proxy, right in the stalls of the kirk. I prefer to take mine more private-like. It's bro up here, by the standing stones.
I like the way they seem to listen and wait.
Druid stones.
Father says they were coarse devils, the druids, climbing up here to sing their heathen songs.
Believe me, they did more good than harm. What Scotland wants is a return to the druids.
Hurry, Chris! They're closing the doors!
I had the door open, Margaret. Did I let them go without me?
Hurry! Hurry!
We've got the whole carriage to ourselves this morning.
Thanks, Margaret. Nearly missed it again.
You'll need to get up sharper out your bed.
Oh, again. But I couldn't have sleep last night, watching the wind burning up in the Grampians from my window. Ah, mauve and gold the sky was. Way past midnight. I could barely stuiter into my clays this morning.
We're hardly needing clays, the heat that's in the weather.
Father's praying for rain. The ground's that hard.
Chase says there hasn't been a drought as bad since 83. Says it's Gladstone's fault.
Is that no an uncle-like thing to do, your father?
But
call him by his Christian name. Is it because he's socialist?
Didn't be daft.
Is he nae then?
What?
Socialist.
Ah, ye socialist, all right. So am I.
Well, what's the sense in that then?
But
sending you to college to get educated and become one of the rich.
Ach, that's no what Che wants, you gomeral. I've to learn and be ready for the revolution that's coming.
How do you know it's coming?
Well, even if it never comes, Che says I'm nae to seek out riches. I'm to train as a doctor. Because life comes out of women through tunnels of pain, he says. And if God had planned women for anything else but the bearing of children, it's surely the saving of them. Are you all right, Chris?
Aye, I'm fine.
I didn't mean to fright you. We should all have bairns. Of course we should. Wait till you find yourself in the arms of your lad at harvest time. With the stooks round about you. And he'll stop for joking. They do, you ken. That's just when their blood pressure alters. And he'll tack you. Like this.
Margaret,
what do you think? There's nobody to see us. And he'll hold you like this, with his hands held here. And he'll kiss you like this.
It was over in a moment, quick and shameful, fine for all that, tingling and strange and shameful by turns. I looked over Peasy's nap that evening, where Margaret Strachan lived with her family, and I blushed again. And suddenly I was seeing them all at Blaweary, as though they were strangers, naked out at sea. I felt ill every time I looked at Father and Mother. Ill and fearful. But that passed in a day or so, for nothing endures.
Chris Quine, your book can wait a wee while. I'm needing help. Take off your boots and stockings and I'll roll up your knickers. I want you to tramp these blankets in the tub.
It's a fine day for it.
Aye. Water's a nice temperature. Wee touch lukewarm.
Oh, I love the smell of the soap.
Right. In you get then, Quine.
Oh, feels soft and warm between your toes. Oh, I could tramp blankets forever.
Oh, well, I'm glad, because I've cleared every bed.
Who's whistling?
It's Long Rob. We as ladies of Spain. Oh. Is I whistling yon song.
It's fine the way it's carried on the still air. Ah. There's nae a breath of wind.
Oh. Right, I'll get the rest of the blankets. Make hay while the twins are asleep.
It was better fun than reading on a spare, slow day to help Mother with the washing. It grew hot in the red forenoon. I took off my skirt and then my petticoat.
God, what a sight! You've stripped! Just look at you in your knickers and vest. You'd make a fine lad, Chris Quine.
What in God's name do you think you're doing, Chris Guthrie? Get into that tub at once, you shameful limmer, and get your clothes on.
John, the days of fairness with the heat and
what would folks say of the Quine if they saw her, near naked? We'd be the speaking laughing stock of the place, woman.
Well, wouldn't be the first time you've seen a naked lass yourself. And if your neighbours haven't, they must have feathered their own bairns with their breeks on.
Father went dead white at that, and he didn't say another word. He didn't speak to Mother all that evening, nor all the next day. I'd seen a caged beast peep from his eyes when he saw me stand in the tub.
Whisht, whisht, bairnie. Lie quiet now.
Mother. Mother, I need to ask you something. I need to ken.
What is it, lass? Well, go on.
What is a man to do with a woman, to have a bairn? Oh, Mother, what's wrong? Are you ill? I didn't mean to vex you.
Oh, not you, Chris. Just life. I cannot tell you a thing, or advise you a thing, McQuine. You'll have to face men for yourself when the time comes, as none can stand and help you. Mind that for me sometime, if I canna fool it longer.
Mother, what's the matter? What do you mean? I canna bear to see you looking so sad and lonely.
Oh, we're daft, the two of us. Run out to the pump and bring me a pail of water. Oh, on you go, Chrissy. I'm fine.
Will?
Mm.
Will, are you awake?
Well, I'm new.
I can't sleep. I'm worried about Mother. Something's happening to her, Will. There's something wrong.
It's the heat. It makes us all tired.
Oh, I can. The weary pleater of the land while you wait for rain.
She's already tired with the twins. Mm. They take a lot out of her.
She's thin as a rake. Still feeding them herself. It's like they're sucking the life out of her. I'll never let bairns drag at me. Can't wait to finish my exams and be off to Aberdeen University, like Margaret. I'll hae a school of my own.
You'll be English afore you ken it, Chris. Gentry.
I'll hae a brave house of my own too. Wear what I like. And never a man vexed at the sight of me. I'll take care of that.
You'll be an old maid afore you're 20 at that rate.
Better that than trochling through my days here with father and his glowering and gowning.
Would you really want to live alone all your days?
Ach, I can never tell what I want half the time. Queer that. I never ken myself for long. Sometimes I feel like a ploughed park just, with the furrows a' crisscross.
Oh well, you'll need to hire a better ploughman. You ken fit feather, says. The salt of the earth are the folk that drive a straight drill and never look back.
And it's true. Sometimes at the college, I think books and the finest of them are just an empty gabble. And then the stinking sharn of the buyer and the snapping of ignorant folk that sickens you and drives you back to books.
It's time you were asleep, Chris.
Aye. Plenty of sharn to deal with in the morning.
The weather's broken at last. Whew. Never thought I'd be glad of soaking. I'm drenched to the bone.
Well,
is the tea on, Chris? Where's Mother? What's the matter, Chris?
Mother's... she's dead, Will.
What?
And the twins.
My God.
Dodd and Alec come in from school. Found her cold in her bed. The twins lying quiet and still in their crib. Mistress Monroe's here to lay them out. Where's Father? I couldn't find him in the top park.
May God strike him to hell forever.
Well, what are you saying? Father would never...
Are you not ready, Chris? Guthrie, get out of here. That's no place for a man.
I want to see Mither. I want
You'll see her when I've made her ready. Get out and tend the beasts and keep your father out the road as well.
Here's a towel for you, Will. Dry yourself off.
Chris, I just...
I'll call you in a while.
Where's the water then, Chris?
Just come in.
I'll need more than one bowl. Cloths too for washing the remains and fresh clothes for them. Oh, look, Snappy Quine. Aye, you'll have little time for dreaming and dirt when you're keeping hoose here at Blaweary. You'll be leaving the college now with your father needing you. Ah, education's dirt. You'd better clear of it.
She washed down the body that was Mother's and put it in a nightgown, her best. The one with the blue ribbons on it that she hadn't worn for many a year. Fair she made her, and sweet to look at. The tears came at last when you saw her so. Hot tears wrung from your eyes like drops of blood. But they ended quick. You would die if you wept like that for long. In place of tears, a long wail clamoured endless, unanswerable inside your head. Oh, Mother, Mother, why did you do it?
You should ken, Chris. Feather wants to keep it from us, but it's here in the paper.
What? About Mother?
Aye. Have a read of this.
Oh my God, Will.
Poisoned herself and the twins because she was pregnant again. The man's a beast.
Killed herself while of unsound mind, it says.
Aye.
Her mind was as sound as the standing stones.
She was afraid, Chris. With a dreadful fear. I could kill him. Tear him to pieces.
That'll be why Dodd and Alec are getting teased at school. Folk must have been reading the paper.
We'll no get their supper till they come back doing quiet. We'll have none of this scrake about staying away from the school.
And why should they go back? I wouldna. Oh, and you needna glower at me, man. You take damn good care you never go near a mark yourself nowadays. After the eye, your dirty work for you.
Why, you yellow...
Dinna you dare lift a finger to me. I'm a grown man.
Well, Father... I'm needing the table for baking.
And where do you think you're going again at this time of night, my manny? Wandering off like a tink?
I'll wander far alike.
Well, Dodd and Alec need a mind about school for long now. I've written to my sister. I've asked your Aunt Janet to tag Dodd and Alec in her care and... give them a schooling in Aberdeen.
But Father...
You know, they're needing a mother, Chris. And Janet and her man have never had a bairn. They're pleased to have the laddies.
Auntie Janet made it plain if the boys went with them, it would be for aye. They wanted to adopt the pair of them. Father sneered, but Dodd and Alec were daft with delight when they heard the plan. In a week, she was down from the north, and the boys were away.
What's this I'm hearing about you and some aura tink bitch in Drumlithy?
What the devil are you blethering about?
The postman waved me down in the road to tell me. Answer my question, Will.
But a question with sense in it, then.
Am I to stand your lip as well as your hooring every night?
Is it true there's a tink called Molly Douglas that's with Bairn by you?
You call Molly Douglas a tink again, and I'll knock your damn teeth down the throat of you, feather though you may be.
Damn it to hell, you cursed brute, you!
Will! That's the minister at the door. He wants to talk to you both.
I'll talk to the minister. You'll finish clearing that dung.
Clear up your end, dung.
And where are you going?
You're so anxious I should lie with my lass and get away a bairn. I'm after trying to oblige you.
Every harvest, there came something queer and terrible on Father. It was as if he grew stronger and crueler then, ripe and strong with the strength of the corn. One night, I didn't dare sleep, for up in the room he'd shared with Mother, I heard him get out of his bed and go slow padding about in his stocking soles, like a great cat, a beast that sniffed and planned and smelled at the night. He came soft down the cowering creak of the stairs to my door. I was near sick with fright. I heard his breath come quick and gasping, and then it stopped. He must have gone up or down. The house was quiet, but I didn't dare sleep again till Will came clattering home in the still small hours. Will? Will, is that you?
Aye, Chris.
Come here. Sit in my bed a minute.
Are you all right?
Aye.
Is that feather up?
Aye.
Don't let her make a damn slave of you, Chris. We have our own lives to lead.
What else can I do but bide at home now?
As soon as I've saved the silver, I'm off to Canada. A man's his own master there.
Oh, Will. He could send for me as your housekeeper. Are you going with Molly?
Maybe.
Will, you haven't done what you said you'd do with her.
It wouldn't be for the want of frigging by half the holy muckers in Kinradi if I had.
Will, please.
Och, Chris. You needn't be feared for that. I'd as soon cut my own throat as do hurt to Molly.
Threshing came in with the winter, and Chase Strachan's was the first in Kinradi. Father and Will were off to Peasy's Knap to help at the Keek of Dawn. I followed to give Chase's wife Kirsty a hand with the dinner. And faith, broke he might be, but he wasna mean, Chase. The table was groaning. All the men from the neighbouring crofts came tramping in from the threshing, eating like collies tain after chains.
Very soul's that gutsy. There's aye second helpings in the turnip field.
Thank you, Chase.
Aye, money thanks.
Fair feast you've laid on.
Now fill yourselves up, everyone. Oatcakes, Will.
Thanks, Kirsty. Champion oatcakes you mak at the Knap.
It's the Lord's blessing to hae such bounty.
It is indeed, Guthrie.
I mind to leave space for jelly and dumpling new, Rob.
Oh, nae fear of that, J-man. Chris is keeping me a wee helping, eh, lass?
I'll see what I can do. Oh, hungry work of the threshing.
Some broth, Mr. Monroe?
Thank you, Chris Quine. Lass, Guthrie, she's fair an expert getting your daughter. The kitchen's more her style than the college.
Damn it, Monroe, you're clean wrong to think that. Education's the thing a working man wants, to put him up level with the rich.
Well, I'd have thought a bit balance in the bank would do that, Che.
You're right there, Rob, man.
No, but I'm with you, Che. The more education, the more sense, and the less of kirks and ministers.
Now, Rob, we'll hear nothing coarse of religion.
Oh, it's no me that's coarse, Guthrie. Look to your minister up the road there. He's more need to clean up his own byre with a clart if the stories about him are true.
Ach, Rob, it's only rumours. He's maybe got his faults, but who hasn't these days? As few could wag a pow like that in a pulpit. He can fairly preach.
Aye, champion o' the chamber pots, eh?
Well, what's this dirt you're scraping up now?
Have you no hair? Begone, Guthrie, it's entertainment. The best scandal since Nebuchadnezzar went out to grass.
Aye, his new bairn's barely drawn breath, and he preaches a grand sermon.
Oh, he did that, Kirsty. Your mother was fair in tears. Unto us a child is born.
And then he goes and spoils the whole thing. The Monday it was, he's just setting out for the train to Aberdeen, the brave Reverend Gibbon,
and the nurse cried him to bring home a chamber pot for the wee girlie.
Was there none in the man suitable?
Couldn't have been. Any rope. It seems he fell in with some friends there in Aberdeen, and he just had to celebrate the occasion with a dram, and sign another to keep the first one doon, and sign two or three more to keep the wind doon.
Oh, blowy weather on the edge of winter, Kirsty. Oh. Benefit of the doot, woman. Benefit of the doot.
Now, Rob, pull that tongue out of your cheek. Fair play to the Minster. I mind my ain wee Margaret. It's a fine thing to celebrate your firstborn.
Well, fair enough, Jay. But there's some say that midway the carouse, Mr. Gibbon got up to make a bit prayer. One of the barmaids laughed at him, and he chased her out the bar up to her room and finished his prayer with her there. Oh, but you can't believe every lie you hear.
He came rolling home on the train, missed his station, and had to go all the way back on the next train, I heard.
He'd minded the chamber pot, though, Will. The porter saw it burst from its paper, hurtling down the steps of the bridge with the minister's hat in competition, and the minister thundering behind.
Oh, and would you believe this? He broke down then, the minister, sobbed on the porter's shoulder, saying what a bloody place was Conradi.
He never did.
Aye, Monroe, he did that. And said you couldn't lie doon a minute with a quine in Conradi, but some half-witted, clod-hopping crofter began to throw stones at you.
Oh, what a shame.
He'd faint respect for God, Kirk, or minister down in Conradi.
Oh, and how did you come by this filth, Mistress Strachan?
The porter told it to his wife, and she told it to her sister from Auchinblay, and she told it to her man, who told it to Alec Much.
And the next time the minister rode by here at Peasy's Knap, a head shot out a hedge behind him. It was your wee laddie, Che. I was coming past myself, and we watched Strachan cries, "Any chambers today?"
Later that day, when the threshers came trooping down to the tables again, a long, dark chiel came in behind Will. I hadn't set eyes on him before, nor he on me, by the way he glowered. I felt the blood come in my face, and saw it come dark in his. He looked over young for the coarse brute folk said he was, like a wild cat, strong and quick.
This is Ewan Tavendale for the Uprooms, Chris.
Hello, Ewan.
Hello, Chris.
I half liked his face and half hated it. It was surely never him that did that, the thing folk I snatched about. Surely he never did that with Sarah Sinclair in the larch wood of Upper Hill. I was out of the Knap a minute later, ran all the way up to Blue Eyrie to see to the milking. I felt tingling and blithe in the winter frost, the night star coming in the sky.
Feather! Chris! Get up!
Chris, are you awake? Chris, look! The light down there at the Knap.
What? It shays. Let me see. My God. It's more than a light, Will. It's a low.
I can. Peasy's Knap will be ablaze in a minute.
Wait for a minute. I'm coming as well.
All right, but for God's sake, hurry.
Light a match, can you, Will? I can't find my corsets in the dark.
Leave the damn things, Chris. You're fine. You should never have been born a quine.
I wish I hadna.
The bars are light, Guthrie man. I hope they've wakened.
Aye, Rob. It's spreading to the house. Che! Kirsty! Are you up? God damn it to hell, Che! Do you want to be roasted?
I must be asleep, Father.
We'll hate to go in.
The door's on the snake. I'll need to break the window. Get up out your bed, man. Che! Kirsty! Guthrie. Rob, what's that? Oh, my God. Kirsty, we're out of hell. The Knap's on fire.
The bars are light, Jay. You'll need to get at it from the other side. Where are the bairns, Kirsty? Your bairns?
They're in their beds, Rob. Oh, God.
Come on, we'll get them out. Quick, woman.
Here's Ellison with his gig, Feather. Look, it's crab with ropes and pails.
He's maybe a windy Irish brute, but he's got sense for all that. Good man, Ellison. Good man.
Line off. Line up, everyone. Pass the pails of water down the line.
Come on, bairns. Get out of here, quick.
Aye, quick, bairns. Lottie, never mind her laughing. It's no a damn picnic. Get these blankets round.
Oh, God, Rob. I can't get in to let the cattle out. And my horses will burn alive.
I can't stand it. Give me that axe.
Oh, Rob, for God's sake, man, take care.
Get water onto the roof, Ellison. The byre roof.
Rob ran round the close and started to smash in the back wall of the byre. Che followed and Father, and they worked like madmen there, till suddenly the wall gave way. And Che's old cow stuck out its head right in Che's face. They loosened another cow and two stirks and drove them out, but had to leave the rest.
Oh, oh no, that's wee Clytie, my wee horse. Oh, God.
That's all we can do, Che. Leave them now, man.
Oh, God, my God.
Are you walking alone, Gwen?
Oh, sorry. It's that dark. I never saw you there.
Better watch where you're going then, eh? Oops, bumpity bump.
Please, let me by.
It's Will Guthrie's sister.
You'll be fair warmed up for Che's bonfire at the nap. Give us a kiss then.
Let me go, you! Leave Gormick!
Ah! You bitch, you! God, I'm bleeding!
I'll scratch your other cheek if you do not let me go!
Ah! It was only a kiss, damn it! Ah! Oh.
There's somebody coming. Quick, man! Come on!
Chris, is that you?
Aye. Thought you'd gone back home already, Will.
No, I was looking for you. I was worried you might have gotten hurt in the fire. Who was that you were talking to?
Fighting me like tinks. One of them grabbed me, Will. Kissed me.
Oh, it's just ploughman, Chris. I ready for fun.
Oh, didn't it seem like fun to me? He was dead earnest.
That night, lying in bed between the cold sheets, I dreamed I was chased by a beast and bitten. But worse, with something else in it, as though I'd half liked the beast and the biting and the smell of that sleeve around my neck and that soft, unshaven face against my own. Sweet breath he'd had. Anyway, that was some consolation. The tink.
The snow's coming down heavy. There'll be no first footing tonight if it keeps up.
Did you get the cattle fed then?
Aye. They fair lapped up the hot treacle.
Well, you took your time.
Your supper's by the fire there, Will.
Thanks, Chris. That's a grand smell of bacon.
Well, it wouldn't be New Year without dumpling, I was thinking.
That's some slates loose in the roof.
God. I wonder why Jean left us.
I cried then, but made no sound. All three of us thinking of Mother. Her that was by us, so kind and friendly and quick that last New Year. So cold and quiet and forgotten now. With the little dead twins in the kirkyard of Kinradi. Piling black with driving snow it would be, under the rustle and swing and creak of the yews. Will stared at Father, his face blind with pity. He made to speak, but he couldn't. Always they'd hated one another so much, they'd feel shamed if they spoke in friendship now.
Happy New Year! Am I the first?
Aye, Rob, you're fairly that. Well, get rid of that coat, man.
You're frosted from head to foot with the snow. Oh,
your mousers are icicles, Rob.
Fine, a bit thatch to keep my lips from freezing. It'll soon thaw.
It's a hot toddy you're needing. Here, get this down your thrapple.
Oh, thanks, Guthrie man, grand. Happy New Year!
The first foot in him, I know. Oh, no, Rob's beat you to it, Che, man.
Come on in, Che.
Chris Quine, Happy New...
oh,
Oh, oops. I'm not so steady in my pins.
Good God, Jay. Get up from the floor. You can't sleep there.
I'm just needing a dram of a fight.
Oh, come here. Sit you down.
There you are, Jay. Your health.
Oh, thanks, Will. Lush, but it's grand to be a laugh in Netherhill for a wee while. Had a hell of a life up there with Kirsty's mother gurning at the bairns. She'd deave her doornail with her whines and plaints. Thrawn old Tory bitch.
Oh, that's worse folk than Tories, Jay.
Well, if there are, they keep themselves damn close hidden. If I had my way, I'd have had the Tories nailed up in barrows full of spikes and rolled down the Grampians.
Oh, there'll be a guy booming the barrel trade then. Most of Kinraddy will be inside them.
And a damn good riddance to rubbish, too.
I'm a Liberal myself. Now, what do you think of this by-election coming off in February?
Ach, it'll make no difference who gets in. One tink Robert's as bad as the other, Tory or Liberal.
Yon old member they're replacing died of drink in London, they're saying.
Aye, well, and when he cut his corpse open, it fair gushed out with whiskey.
Why don't you stand as the socialist man yourself, Jay? Can you no see it, Chris? Him and his wee attaché case heading down to London?
He'd be the speak of the place.
Well, better that than letting your opinions eat their heads off, Jay.
Well, maybe I'll do that yet. Once Peasy's nap's builded again.
Well, has your insurance come through then?
Aye, thank God. But Minguthrie, I wouldn't be here to reap the benefit if it wasn't for you. I'd have been a black cinder in my own bed. Kirsty and the bairns too, if you hadn't aroused us. You're a good neighbour, Guthrie, and that's God's truth.
You're here. Hello, Chris.
Oh, sorry, Ewan. I didn't see you there behind the sheets. You gave me a fright.
It's a grand day for the drying.
His eyes were queer and soft and shy. The neck of his shirt had fallen apart. Below it, the skin was white as new milk. Frothed white, it looked. And a drop of sweat stood there, where the brown of his tanning and the white of his real skin met.
Is Will about?
No, he's in Drumlithy, I think.
Oh.
And suddenly I knew something, and blushed. I couldn't stop. I minded the night of the fire at Peasy's Nap, and the man that had kissed me on the homeward road. Ewan Tavendale it had been. Shameless and coarse. He was blushing himself now and began to move off, stepping softly. Like father. Like a limber, soft-stepping cat.
Well, I was hoping I'd see him. In case he should leave us. Sudden-like.
Leave? Who said Will was leaving?
I heard he was for a job in Aberdeen. Maybe it's a lie. Well, ta-ta, Chris. Tell him I called by.
I'll bring your tea up in a minute, Father. It's just brewing.
Hey. Thought I'd drop by, Chris. Kirsty said she'd seen the doctor coming up to Blueberry.
Aye, come in, Shay.
Are you all right?
Oh, it's Father. He fell over in the yard last night. He got up the stair to his bed, but this morning he couldn't move. A stroke, the doctor says.
Oh, that's bad. It's bad. Can he speak still?
Oh, why? Crying and whistling for him every 5 minutes. I've been up and down these stairs all day for him like a horse on the rigs. The doctor helped me strip and wash him.
This is hard on you, Chris Quine. Well away. Hard on your father, too. He's a proud man. He'll not take easy to this.
I think it was Will's news. Father went mad at him. He was raging.
What, is Will back from Aberdeen?
No, but he sent a letter. It came yesterday. He's married and off to the Argentine with Molly.
Married? Well, well. Young Will Guthrie. The Argentine's a fine country, mind you.
Do you ken it, Jay?
No. I've travelled wide, but that's one place I've never been, Quine. They say there's money to be made there. A lot of silver. Aye, damn it. But young Will's no fool to spread his wings. Now listen, Chris. If there's anything you need, if your father takes a sudden turn for the worse, you just give me a sign and I'll be here.
What do you mean? What kind of sign?
Well, I dunno ken. You could maybe spread a sheet out over your gate above the road. I'd see it for there. Who'd have nursed that?
It's Father's sign. He blows a whistle whenever he wants me. I'm bringing your tea, Father. I'm coming.
And it wasn't just all day he'd have me run into his bedside. He'd call out for me in the dead of night.
Chris. Chris. Chris Quine, come here to me.
Father, are you all right?
Come here, Chris.
What is it? What do you want? Do you need a drink?
No, no. No, listen, lass. Hold my hand.
Father?
They did it in the Old Testament times, Chris. Hmm? And so can we.
Did what? What do you mean?
You're my flesh and blood. I can do with you what I will.
Father, I can't.
Why, you can, Chris. Aye, you can. And dinna be feared. You can. Do you hear?
I won't. I can't, Father.
Come to me, lass.
I'd slip down from his room and lock my bedroom door because of a wild fear. A wild fear that he'd somehow struggle from his bed, like a great frog squattering across the floor, thump, thump on the stairs, coming down on me while I slept. That madness and tenderness there in his eyes.
In Sunset Song, Chris Guthrie was played by Leslie Hart, John Guthrie by Liam Brennan, Jean Guthrie, Bridget McCann, Will Guthrie, Gordon Brandy, Mistress Munro, Estrid Barton, Long Rob, Matthew Zajac, Chase Strachan, Douglas Russell, Kirsty, Shona Price, Margaret, Sally Reed, and Ewan Tavendale by Finn Den Hertog. Sunset Song by Lewis Grassett Gibbon was dramatised by Gerda Stevenson and produced by David Ian Neville.
And tomorrow, in the second and final part of Sunset Song, the outbreak of the First World War brings devastating change to Chris's family, the rural landscape, and her community.
It gives me a sense of connection to the universe that I find thrilling.
A journey through fascinating ideas, astonishing inventions, and new ways to think and create.
If anybody here is a fan of the original Star Trek, they ran across an alien ship that had an ion drive, and Spock said they're very technically sophisticated. They're 100 years ahead of us with this drive. Yeah, we have an ion drive now. We don't have the Enterprise, we got an ion drive now.
TED Radio Hour. Sundays at 11 in the morning and 7 in the evening on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello there, it's 11 o'clock. A short story for you next before Tom Courtney stars as a 110-year-old looking for love one last time in a touching drama, The Six Loves of Billy Binns. That's in a quarter of an hour. And how did the mouse get in the beans? Search me. But Stephen K. Amos, Dune McKeegan and Justin Edwards may be able to help in an odd half hour called The Odd Half Hour in the Comedy Club at 10:30 tonight. Now we've another tale from Caris Bray's award-winning collection of short stories, Sweet Home, which she describes as stories about families, some sad, some funny, and a couple that could be classed as fairy tales. Today's story was the last she wrote for the collection, but it was also the starting point for her first novel, A Song for Issy Bradley. I was thinking about writing a novel and the idea terrified me, she says, so I decided to begin the process by writing a scene from the novel as a short story. So now, here's Emma Fielding to read Scaling Never. are so many kinds of never. There's the never that Jacob's mum uses when she says, never talk to strangers, it's dangerous. And there's the never his dad uses when he says, never play with your food, it's bad manners. But mum talks to loads of people she doesn't know, and dad breaks Oreos in half to lick the creamy bit. Izzy used to say, I'll never be friends with you again if you don't play with me. But she didn't mean it. And sometimes she said, I'll never eat sprouts. She did mean this. And if mum is right, and death is definitely the end of being alive, Izzy will absolutely never eat sprouts. However, Jacob has noticed something. Never is a word that doesn't always mean not on your Nelly and absolutely no way. Sometimes never means not yet. The house is full of sadness. It's packed into every crevice and corner like snow. There are bottomless drifts of it beside Izzy's Cinderella beanbag in the lounge. Jacob takes refuge in the garden. Overgrown flowerbeds stream along the length of each of the old red brick garden walls. Randomly planted apple trees poke out of the lawn like twisted, witchy hands. Windfalls pepper the grass, and Jacob kicks them as he makes his way to the end of the garden. Last year, Mum supervised an apple-picking operation before the trees dropped their fruit. There were bags and bags full. This year, she hasn't bothered. No one has bothered. When he gets there, he stares at the hedge, which is covered in crispy leaves that look like giant bran flakes. A few have fallen off, but he knows that most of them will cling on into the winter. He knows this because last winter, he and Izzy played unseen in the gap between the hedge and the wall. It was Izzy who found the dead bird. Most of it was under the hedge.